It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Were super necessary.
God, Eddie, my God!
Unbelievable! Right there! Done and done! You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me!
He can't say much other than wow.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, brother?
How are you doing? You good?
Good, good.
Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Right. So we'll jump right into it. We are live at the moment. So for those who are just joining, I am joined today by the welterweight and lightweight bare knuckle boxing champion, pound for pound number one in the world, Luis Baboon Palomino. Again, thank you so much for joining me. It's an absolute pleasure. Jump right into it. How I normally start these, very simple. How did you get started in combat sports?
For combat sports, talking about, about 18 years back. Well, even earlier than that. At the age of 10, I did boxing. I started boxing in California. I boxed from age of 10 to 13. Then, long story, making it short, my father goes to prison. We come to Florida. And in Florida, like a whole lot of street fighting, bare knuckle fighting, if you will, in the streets. And then I ended up getting into capoeira, Brazilian martial arts. And that took me to MMA. So I did MMA at the age of 26. I went pro with zero amateur fights. I just went in there and just started swinging. Fighting at 170 pounds, weighing probably like 167, with no idea about weight cutting, no idea that I was fighting people that are coming down from 200 pounds. And I won my first three fights, like right off the bat. First fight was like minute 23 seconds, second fight, 25 second knockouts. Third fight was against Jeremy Stevens, who later on went to fight in the UFC at 185 pounds. So now with 6'3", 185 pound fighter in the UFC. So these are the kind of fights that I was getting into without knowing. Then with time, I retired from MMA and got into the bare knuckle world.
Yeah. When was it then you first started learning about sort of weight cutting and really taking it sort of seriously in that manner?
So I did those first three fights, 3-0, and then I lost my first fight. I didn't want to listen to the coaches. I did three fights in 1 year. And I was like, let's do another one, you know, and I jumped in there again. I wasn't prepared. I was a little hurt. And I dealt with the first wrestler. You know, so we're talking about, you know, in an era where, like I told you, you know, like I did jiu-jitsu for 6 months, 8 months before taking my first professional fight with no amateur fights. So I really had no idea what I was getting into, right? So then I met the first wrestler. I forgot his name. And I literally hurt my hand the first round. I punched his head. I hurt my hand. And he took me down and, you know, ground and pound. Didn't finish me. But, you know, that was my first loss, a decision loss. With time, I had to, like, get into, like, more MMA training, you know.
Yeah.
I did, like, about maybe 6 or 7 fights at 170. And then I realized, okay, well, that's not my weight class. You know, like, powered by these guys that I never – in MMA – the only fights that I received punishment through was like the great fight that I had with Justin Gaethje. You know, like I was always the one putting all the damage on people. You know what I mean? Like if I was losing, I was losing to a wrestler that just kept holding me down and was winning by decision. You know, even by submission, I lost out of 44, 45 MMA fights. I lost three fights, two fights of submission. early in the career. And after that, one fight was in a Bellator tournament, and I got caught with a Peruvian necktie. Oh. You know, so that was a humiliating fight of my life. So I said, okay, well, I made a promise to myself, and I said, I'll never lose via submission ever again. I never did. Never again did I lose by submission. So my jiu-jitsu was really very, very high-level jiu-jitsu, but it didn't match my style of MMA because I was a killer. I wanted to trade with you, and I didn't emphasize on the wrestling. I emphasized on the jiu-jitsu. You know, I was really good at it, but when it comes down to MMA, it's called cage control, right? It doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter that you're not getting damage from the bottom. You're on the bottom. And if you're on the bottom, you know what I mean? So, you know, that kept happening. Like, I would win some fights, and I would lose, and I would win. And, you know, I fought. Another thing is I have no management. So I literally fought everybody and anybody they put in front of me. You know, Masvidal, Yves Edwards, you know, like, you name it. JC Cavalcante, like, I fought, like, the who's who's, you know? Mm. Back in those, like, nobody wanted to face those guys. You know what I mean? So I think I did very well. I collected four titles that you can see back here. The four bottom titles are, you know, two of them in the featherweight division and two of them in the lightweight division in four different organizations. So I just started collecting belts in every organization. But I didn't have a manager to take care of my record. So every time I would win, I'd make a loss. Mm. The whole UFC talk was like, oh, you know, but he wins, and he loses. Or the other thing was, you know, that I was illegal for 31 years in this country. So, like, in my head, it just wasn't a possibility that I can go to UFC. Because if UFC called me, which they did, when I was in a CFA, I was a champion for CFA, would be that belt up there. I had a 4-5 win streak. And I was beating, like, the best guys in Florida, you know. And they called me to fight. And, you know, I had to, you know, I had to say no because... Okay, so I go, and they call me, and, like, you know, okay, you got to fight in Brazil. You got to fight in Mexico. What do I say?
Yeah.
You know, I can't go over there, because if I go over there, stuck over there, you know, I can't go back to the country. So that was a thing that in my head, it didn't make a reality that I could ever make it to the UFC, not because of the skill, because I beat many guys that after losing to me got signed to the UFC. Or they fought one fight, one fight, and then they went to the UFC. You know, so to me, it wasn't reality. And what you put in your mind, that's what happens. You know, so I was strong physically, but I wasn't strong mentally to surpass, you know, the fact that I could go to the UFC, you know, that I could make it happen. You know what I mean? So I didn't make it a possibility. So I kind of blocked it off on my own. Mm. And I never, you know, so now fast forward, bare knuckle surfaces. And I said, and I was already retired. I was on my first 4-fight losing streak ever. Like, I never passed, you know, two losses in a row. You know what I mean? And this was 3 fights that I did in Russia against the Russians. You know what that means? You know, you're fighting the Russians in Russia, you know, you better knock them out or else you're just not gonna.
Yeah.
The only decision I ever won over there in ACB, which is like the biggest show out of Europe, was against a Brazilian. You know? To the Russians, it was always a big decision, you know, and maybe one of those fights I really lost, but the rest of them I won. I know I won. People know I won, but I didn't get the win.
Yeah.
And I was hurting my legacy, you know. So I said, you know what? I'm done. I called it quits mentally. Not, you know, I didn't do it publicly, you know, but I was riding a 4-5 losing streak, and I said, you know what? I'm done with this. And then I see Jim Allers, which was an old training partner of mine. He was the face of the organization in BKFC back then. And I see him doing well. They call him the Beast. You know, he's there knocking people out. I'm like, man, I used to spar with this guy. You know, like, I know what I can do to this guy. And I said, man, so you mean to tell me that I can punch people in the face and I don't have to worry about the takedowns? You know? So that's my calling right there. And I said it. I said it out of my mouth. I said, I can be undefeated in this game. You know, I can actually come into this game, be undefeated, and retire as an undefeated champion. And here we are, you know, at 9-0 with 6 world title defenses.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did you think that your days of fighting were done when you sort of decided to stop MMA? Did you think that was it?
Yeah. Basically, I thought it was it because, look, in that time, when I was done with MMA, I wasn't done fighting. In here, I wanted to fight, but, you know, being realistic, You know, I'm like, well, I was what, 37 years old, and I wanted to do boxing because boxing was my first love, way before MMA. You know, I boxed in Cali, but I never went pro, right? I had some amateur fights over there, but, you know, I was just as a kid, 10 to 13 years old, you know? So then I go into MMA, I had this run, I collect 4 titles, and I said, maybe through here I can get into boxing. And when I started boxing, I started going, you know, trying to get boxing fights, I would get like, you know, okay, we got you a fight. And it'll be like against the guy that's like 17 and 0, or like 20 something and 0, you know, that would, you know, people that would actually take the fight against me. And I would take the fight, I would accept it. And then when the 2 days, I'll get a call, hey man, the guy doesn't want to fight you. You know, they'll go in YouTube and they'll look me up and they'll see like, this guy is dangerous. He's dangerous, an older guy with 0 wins in boxing. So I'm not going to say that the boxers that they matched me up with were scared of me, but their management knew what they were doing, because what do they have to gain to lose against an older dude with 0 boxing fights? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I couldn't catch a break. I couldn't catch a fight. And then bare knuckles where I started going, you know, so they gave me the opportunity. Here we are, you know?
Yeah. You kind of touched on it before. Obviously you love, you know, you love being a killer. You love standing and exchanging. Did you just take one look at bare knuckle boxing and go like that? That's for me.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. When I said, man, what? Like, even in MMA, right? Even in MMA, even though I did 13 years of capoeira, you know, I can kick, right? And I'm very disciplined. I know how to kick, you know, MMA style and transfer my kicks in there. And I was a full-on striker. Like, I was a very dangerous MMA striker, you know? But in the end of the day, the boxing was where I was at. Like, my knockout power, you know, my ability to move my head and combine. That was my style, you know. It was mostly based on boxing, you know. And I was just dirty, you know. I was like wild, like a wild animal, a wild baboon, if you will, right? And with time, you know, training with Eric Castaños, El Tigre, you know, he's a 5-time kickboxing world champion that has made many boxers, like Tortico, you know, El Doctor del Knockout, that do this like 28-1, I think it is, with like 23 knockouts. Like, he's made many boxers, you know. So I've been working with him for like now going on 8 years, and he like literally polished my boxing. You know, he took me to another level. We couldn't get no boxing fights, but we said, in bare knuckle, we're going to make it happen. And we did. You know, we were here now, you know.
Yeah. What would you say, obviously, besides the sort of not worrying about takedowns, but what are the sort of main differences between your camps now in bare knuckle boxing compared to sort of MMA? Are they easier on your body?
Way easier. So that's another thing, right? We're you know, I'm at a point in my life where my worst enemy is time, right? It's time that I'm running up against. I'm not worried about the opponents that are coming up. I'm not worried about the opponents that are active right now. You know, I'm not even worried about time, to be honest with you, because I take care of myself, but I am battling against time. You know, I'm over here at 43 years old, you know what I mean? And at 43 years young, I feel great because of the way I take care of my body. You know, my house, like I have the peaceful environment I never had in my past. When I was in the MMA round, I was like all over the place. You know, I had a very bad relationship with my ex-wife. You know, raising my son was tough, you know, single father life, you know. But now I have a perfect partner at home. You know, she's like on point with me when it comes to like nutrition, rest, peace of mind, like the partner I never had, I have it now. You know, those are the accolades that I have right now that have brought me to the situation right now. So that right there, it speaks for itself when it comes to talking about age and how you age in the sport, you know. But other than that, man, I just feel great at my age. I feel really good, you know, at what I'm doing, how I'm evolving. You know, I'm still learning. So that's one of the other things that I can tell you from most of the fighters that I've met, you know, throughout my career. Is some fighters can just become uncoachable, you know, because they just keep learning, or they have this thing where like they think they know it all. And I'm a student, man. I'm always going to be a student. You know, I'm always willing to learn. I always want to learn, and I always want to improve something. So as long as I keep playing my cards like that, I'll be undefeated until I retire.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't look a day over 21, by the way. So right now, as we sit here, you're the best bare knuckle boxer on the planet. You're pound for pound number one. Are you surprised a little that you, how well you've actually adapted to the sport and just how you seem to just take to it so easily?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am surprised, and at the same time, it's familiar because growing up, like I told you, I grew up fighting in the street, man. You know, like every single knockout right here, they all have a tooth with a different story, and that's before bare knuckle boxing.
Mm.
There was no mouthpiece. There's no mouthpiece. So I literally grew up in Miami in a time of gang activity. Like, when you came to Florida 26, 27 years ago, this was gang activity left and right. Like, I have to fight a lot. I never joined the gang. So that only made me more prone to fighting because I didn't have a group of people backing me up. You know, I ended up picking up respect along the way and people left me alone. But I had to like earn that respect fighting in the street. So I have that fighter inside me, you know, that animal instinct. I have that. And then I got polished in boxing. So I have the best of both worlds. And I think that's what has us right now where we are.
Yeah. In bare knuckle boxing, you are, or in BKFC rather, you're a history maker, first ever champ, as it were, first ever double weight class champion. What does that accolade mean to you?
Well, that means a great deal to me, man. I mean, look, at this point, every fight that I take is a new broken record. Nobody in BKFC history ever reached 8-0. I'm 9-0. Nobody in BKFC history has defended a title more than three times consecutively. I have 6. February 2nd, we make 10-0, the first ever in history. 7 world title defenses, first ever in history. And the first two-way division undefeated world champion in BKFC history. So, yeah, I'm very proud of that, man.
Yeah, I mean, you list them off, and I don't think that's ever getting broken, at least maybe not for a good 30, 40 years, definitely. Right now, I feel like bare knuckle boxing, it's in a really good place. I think the stigma of it is starting to leave. I think a lot of people are looking at it in a better light. How much have you seen the sport grow since you've been involved in it?
Oh man, a whole lot. It's blown up. It's blown up. You know, we went from one day, like maybe like a year or 2 years ago. I think it was a year and a half ago that it comes out in Forbes as the next billion-dollar combat sports industry. You know, after UFC. You know, and like you see it now. You see that growth, right? Now we have the eyes of the world, right? Like everybody knows what BKFC is right now. We still are growing, but we are definitely growing at a faster rate than UFC ever did. You know what I mean? And that speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see people like Mike Perry, Luke Rockhold, you know, names like that, big names from the UFC coming over and continuing the careers in bare knuckle boxing. It's only going to help it grow. I think what I did want to just touch on, something that happened in your absence, I think it was Conor McGregor. He obviously had a face-to-face with Mike Perry, holding a bare knuckle FC championship belt. You didn't take too kindly to that, did you?
I mean, it's thanks to this former UFC fighters that are coming in that BKFC is growing at its rate. So it's got to be, you know, some sort of respect put towards that, right? Because if it wasn't for the Luke Rockholds, Eddie Alvarez, you know, you name it. Even Michael Brandon Page, you know, all those things that have come in and represented the sport with their following, then we wouldn't have this eyes on it, right? Mike Perry himself, you know, Conor McGregor stepping into our square circle, you know, it brings even more eyes to see, you know, how many eyes he got on him, right? Now, wearing my belt, you know, and talking about this, you know, like you know, doing his thing, like, yeah, that, you know, hey, I mean, you know, he's his own character. I think, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. And that's why he sells the way he sells, you know. But, yeah, before putting on that belt, man, you need to face somebody like me. You know, yeah. If you're going to face anybody in BKFC, and this is the thing about McGregor, right, is that he won't shy away from the best. That's one thing about McGregor. People can talk whatever they want to talk about him, but at least he will not shy away from fighting the best. Right? And I am the best. I'm the pound for pound. So if you were to ever want to step in here, it should be against me.
Yeah. So just to confirm, if Conor McGregor ever did sign on the dotted line with BKFC, you're the man he's got to look to.
1,000%.
I love it. So reading about yourself, one thing I noticed, quite a lot of your fights, you tend to throw less than your opponent does. You're more precise with your shots. What gives you that edge, do you think, to be able to pick and choose your shots as opposed to what your opponents are doing?
If you see some of my fights, right, there's been fights where I've gone wild, right? And I bring the baboon out, right? I go wild, you know? And I do my thing because I'm always going to look to be inside an exciting fight, and I'm always going to look for a knockout. But we got to be realistic here, right? I've already had my run at MMA, and I made many mistakes that I'm not willing to make today because this is my last run at anything in the sense of making money, you know what I mean, in the combat sports world, right? So when I come to pick and choose my shots, it's normally against somebody that's not really coming after me. So, like, if you see, like, the fight with Jim Anders, for example, 43 seconds, he was out, you know? Couple other guys that came at me. If you're coming to fight me, I'm going to come to fight you because I want to knock you out. But if you're coming trying to do a point fight, then I got to box you. I have to box you. I can't be blamed, right, which has happened, for a fight that is not turning out to be what you may want to see. Like, if I'm the only one fighting in there, I'm the champion. You know, you're the challenger. The challenger has to bring the fight to the champion, yeah, not the other way. You know what I mean? So what I have to do is I have to protect my record. You know what I'm saying? I have to protect my record until I get a fight. Like Mike Perry has gotten a fight. Like Eddie Alvarez has got it. You know, like, until I get those fights where this is involved, hey, let's put it all up in there, right? Because, I think I've earned that and I deserve that, right?
Yeah.
But now, to be correct, right, when I go out, I want to finish the fight and I want to put on a show. But the fighter has to be willing to come in and fight me. You see what I'm saying? If the fighter comes kind of like box me, then I have to box him too. Because I'm not going to go and run into a punch just for the fans. I've done that before. You know what I mean? And then, you know, you lose the fight, and then what happens? You know, your market drop.
Yeah.
You know? And the fighter wasn't somebody that I got paid from. You know? Now, in this fight, we have Austin Trout. Austin Trout is a two-time former WBA world champion. I don't think he's coming in with any fear in here. He just played a good fight against Diego Sanchez. You know, I'm looking to knock Austin Trout out. I'm looking to put on a show with Austin Trout. I'm just hoping that Austin Trout is going to back up his words and he's coming to put on a show with me. You know, it can't be done for one side of only.
Yeah. Is Austin Trout your toughest test in bare knuckle boxing to date, would you say?
I would say that he's the highest level boxer signed to BKFC.
Nice.
That's what I'll give him that, right? Because he is, right? Former, two-time former WBA world champion. He's fake Canelo. He plays the Charlo brothers. He knocked on Miguel Cotto. You know, you give him that, right? Toughest, I would have to be asked that question after the fight. Because in bare knuckle is something else. Toughest right now, it's always going to be Tyler Goodjohn, you know? Because Tyler Goodjohn, if you watch that fight, I landed 172 bare-knuckle punches to that man's face. What did he do? That dude beat himself in the chest and walked forward asking for more. He was the only one that cut me. Like, actually, from punching me, he cut me. Not from a little headbutt or an accident. Like, punching me, he actually cut me. He was the first one to cut me. You know what I mean? Like, he brought a fight to me, even though I outstriked him, but it was a hell of a fight. It was a very high-level bare-knuckle boxing fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I couldn't finish him. The dude is like, as we get to the fourth and fifth round, he just kept growing on me. It was crazy. Normally, people just go down after that, you know? So, the toughest until this day, Tyler Goodjohn, for me to answer about Trout, it has to be after the fight.
Fair, I respect that. So, you've recently, last year, underwent surgery to correct a few issues. Managed to get through three surgeries in one sitting. How important was that and good for you to get those issues taken care of in one go?
So, we're talking about, in that time, I was at 8 fights in bare knuckle. And I only had one fracture. I have fractured this knuckle here. In that last fight before the night. And this knuckle here was already damaged from the previous fights to the point where I couldn't pop my jab the way that I popped my jab in the first 6-7 fights.
Right.
And then, so it was starting to become something chronic, you know, like a chronic injury where it'll puff up and double in size within 1 round, 2 rounds. So to answer your question, we fixed that. That was a great, like a success. I actually thought that that wasn't going to heal the way that the shoulder healed, right? I was more worried about the knuckle and the shoulder. So in the fight, in my last fight, when I fought James Lilly, how I told you, right before that fight, I had fractured this knuckle.
Hmm.
And before the fight, or 2 weeks before the fight, I hit an uppercut on somebody's elbow and I hurt the same exact knuckle. So if you watch the Lilly fight, I literally fought on one arm. I fought on the left arm. Like I threw this hand maybe like 20 times in the 5 rounds. You know, I couldn't really utilize the hand, you know? The knuckle was hurting too much. I was scared to throw it. I would throw it because I had to throw it, but I couldn't really throw it. You know what I mean? So I ended up tearing the labrum. I had a partial tear of the labrum, and I completely destroyed that knuckle because I did a whole fight in that arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had what I call the toe of hell, which was, apart from my right knee, it was the major reason why I retired from MMA. I couldn't wrestle no more. I couldn't grapple. You know, because of the knee and the toe. I have a toe that had bone fragments stuck inside the joint
right.
of my toe. So every step that I took for the last 5 years, it was painful.
Hmm.
Right? Until I started limping right before my last fight, I started limping, you know? So once I got this torn, and I said, you know what, man? I spoke to my doctor, Dr. Badia, and I spoke to him, said, hey, doc, look, can we do the shoulder and the knuckle on the same day, you know? He was like, yes, I can. You know, he's a hand specialist and he does shoulder surgeries as well. So, and I said, well, can I push it a little further more? And I asked him, what about my toe, man? You know, since I'm going to be there already, do you think we can get that fixed? Like, you know what? I have a colleague named Dr. Caban that, you know, we've worked together before. So, yes, we can do it. I'm like, what? I said, okay. And he told me it'd be actually better for you because you'd be under one anesthesia. You can get all three surgeries done in one day. I was like, what? Sign me up. So, to answer the question, man, I went all three surgeries done under one anesthesia. It was a successful surgery. My shoulder feels great. The knuckle feels way better than I thought it would. And the toe, I do a little pain here and there, but it's better because remember, I'm walking the toe, right? Like, you know, and I have to train, you know what I mean? So I was ready to fight November or December. I just didn't get a fight.
Yeah.
You know, so even more ready for February 2nd.
Yeah. Well, that. What I was just going to say, you put a post up on Instagram a few weeks back saying the worst thing BKFC could have done was not let you have a fight again the back end of last year. Has that time off just made you hungrier than ever?
It has. It really pissed me off, to be very honest with you. That's just the honest truth. You know, like I told you, I'm not battling against any opponent. I'm battling against time.
Mm.
You know, to have me sit out with one fight in an entire year, it's really bad for me. It's really bad for my career. And it's really bad for my performance because there is such a thing as ring rust.
Mm.
And, you know, and I've demonstrated that when I'm kept in activity, I perform better, you know? So it really pissed me off that it happened. But at the same time, it turned like the animal inside me, like vroom, completely on where I'm at this hunger right now where I'm looking to destroy my opponent, man. I'm ready to make a statement and start off the year with a real hard bang, you know?
Yeah. Mentioned animal there. I did want to ask you. I know you're a big dog lover. I think you've got, is it 5 dogs you've got?
I have 4 right now.
You're 4? Yeah. Right, okay. Are you any plans to add to the pack anytime soon, or are you happy with 4 at the moment?
Yeah, I'm not a breeder, you know, but I have bred my dogs, and I do it solely for continuing the bloodline of my family, my dogs. You know, I've always had dogs growing up with my mom, but it was always my mom's dog, you know? So now I have, you know, my American Bulls, you know? And yes, I do have a female that is the granddaughter of my first female that I have here right in front of me, Dulce Leche. And I'm looking to breed her to a dog called Golden Child. This dog is like out of this world. Like, it looks like a bodybuilder. So I want to keep the line going, you know. So yes, in the future we do want another one, you know. <Yeah. laughs> And I will sell, of course, the dogs, but I don't sell Like, I don't sell my dogs to breeders, for example, not to put nobody down, you know. I'd rather sell them to a family that really wants a companion in the house, that I know that my dog's going to have, like, that family love type life. So that's, you know, that's the way that, if not, I'll keep them all. I'm doing the breeding thing, and my wife was just, like, laughing at me, like, you can't breed. You want to keep all the dogs. Like, how are you going to breed? We can't keep them all. You know, like, you're horrible at this. And, like, yeah. But, yeah, I knew that breeding wasn't for me.
Yeah. So, like you mentioned, February 2nd, Austin Trout. You said you're looking to put on a performance. What's your mindset going into the fight at the moment, right now?
Man, we're so ready for everything that he has to bring. You know, we're ready to make this a very dirty and ugly fight. This is just not a boxing match, man. You know, and this is, you know, just the other day, I think it was the day before yesterday, BKFC did a post, and he did his comment there, right? Oh, no, it was, yeah, the BKFC posted his interview, right? Where he's like, you know, Palomino, Palomino's not the baddest or hardest fighter I've ever faced, you know, because, you know, like I said, he's faced some really high names in boxing, right?
Yeah.
And but I am the biggest name that he's faced. And I'm like, I have to reply to that one, you know? Like, brother, you must forget, you know, you're thinking that bare knuckles is the only place where I fought. Like, you know, I'm a four-time MMA world champion, brother. Like, I fought the who's. I fought far more dangerous men than you ever faced. You faced boxers, which, great, very high-level boxers. But when you talk about dangerous men, I boxed with 4-ounce gloves, man. Elbows, knees, you know, like submission. Like, you want about facing danger? I faced it. Like, you're not bringing nothing new to me. This is not a boxing fight, man. This is a bare knuckle boxing fight. You know what I mean? This is a complete different sport. I can clinch that head. I can drive this knuckles through your face. Like, even though you have a great record and you are the highest level boxer signed to the company and you are the highest level boxer that I'm facing today in bare knuckle boxing, you're just a boxer and there's no gloves here. There's just no gloves here. There's no filling out process. There's no 10, 12, 3-minute rounds. It's only 5 2-minute rounds. It's going to be a dog fight. It's going to be a real ugly dog fight. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's ready for all that. You know, in this world, he's 1-0. I'm 9-0. I'm the emperor here. You know what I mean? So, yeah, good luck with that.
It's your kingdom. He's just a visitor.
Did he?
It's your kingdom. He's just a visitor.
Exactly.
Well, that was everything I have for you, Luis. Again, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to join me today, and can't wait to see you in action. I'm really looking forward to the fight. It's going to be, as you said, a dogfight.
Yes, sir. You got it, bud.
Thanks for your time. Take it easy.
All right. Take care, man.
I love it.
It was super necessary.
It is all wow! Unbelievable!
Go now.